Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Chaplain Johnson of the Senate. Remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Chaplain.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for another day, for another chance to serve you and to serve the people of Montana. God, long ago, King Solomon, he didn't pray for a long life, for wealth, or for fame, but for something called discernment to administer justice, to be able to distinguish between right and wrong, and to be wise. And Father, that's our prayer today. Give us discernment. Give us wisdom. And once again, I pray for good rest and for safety for those in this body who are traveling this weekend. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary will take the roll. Senator Vance.
Where is he online? Is he online?
Mr. President, 48 members are present. Senators McGillivray and Esp are excused.
Quorum being present, Senate will be ready for session. Without objection, we'll go to order business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed on agriculture, livestock, and irrigation report that Senate Bills 217 and Senate Joint Resolution 9 do pass, and that House Bills 51, 66, 84, and 104 be concurred in. Senator Mike Lang, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on finance and claims report that Senate Bills 121 and 148 do pass. Senator Don Esp, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on state administration report that Senate Bill 117 do pass as amended. Senator Mike Cuff, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
That objection, the committee reports are adopted. That objection will go to order business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate the following actions. The following House bills were on this day read through several times and passed, title and history agreed to, and are herewith transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. House Bill 3, Jones. House Bill 234, Phelan. House Bill 279, Kearns. House Bill 281, Brockman. House Bill 282, Galloway. House Bill 287, Windy Boy. House Bill 305, Buttry. House Bill 327, Helgard. That is all, Mr. President. Signed, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House. That is all, Mr. President.
That objection will go to order of business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bills 306 through 315 have been introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. House Bills 234, 279, 281, 282, 287, 305, 327, and Senate Bill 316 have been introduced and read. Senate Bill 305 has been referred to committee. That is all, Mr. President.
Senator Curdy.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I be off the record now? The journal for the purpose of an introduction?
You may.
Thank you, sir. In the back is a good friend of mine and a constituent, Jim McLean. Jim owned a physical therapy business in Frenchtown for years. He did awesome work in bringing my wife's health back, and a valued friend besides an esteemed professional. Mr.
Welcome.
President.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to be off the record and out of the journal for an introduction.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members in the gallery over here today, we have some of our behavioral health peer support specialists. These folks are providing on-the-ground services to in many of our communities. They are folks who are in active recovery and who are doing wonderful work, filling some of the gaps in our mental health system. And can we please welcome them to the Senate?
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I request to be off the record now to the journal for the purposes of an introduction.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today, lunch was provided by many of the members of the American Physical Therapy Association, and I have some friends from the Flathead, the greater Flathead area, up here in the gallery, Ben Kingen and Sam Schmidt and Tyler Landenberry. Welcome to the Senate. Thank you very much for coming.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Vance.
Mr. President, may I request to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction.
You may.
Behind me, up above, I've got a very dear friend from Bozeman, Bev Adams, who actually worked in the House as a secretary many years ago.
Welcome to the Senate. That objection will be on order business number 7, second reading of bills. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole for the consideration of business on second reading.
You've heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Will Senator Vance take the chair?
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 176. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
Senate Bill 176, introduced by Kay Vergeer, a bill for an act entitled an act revising the allocation of legislators appointed to legislative intern committees and certain other statutory committees to reflect the majority and minority composition of the legislature, requiring a member of the majority party to chair, revising bill draft, requesting providing the interim budget committee chairs are ex officio non-voting members of the Legislative Finance Committee, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 10.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 176. What is your pleasure, Senator Regeer?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 176, it recommend the same do pass. Madam Chair. Members of the Senate, the appointment and composition of interim and statutory committees is set in code. For most committees, there are two members from the minority party and two members from the majority party from both the Senate and the House. That makes a 50% membership from each party. Currently in the House, there is a 68% majority party composition, and the Senate has a 68% majority. That reflects the will of the electorate in the last election. A 50-50 makeup of interim committees does not reflect the will of the voters. Senate Bill 176 will correct that. At 50-50 committee composition, the minority party has a difficult time filling all of the positions. Many minority senators have multiple committees. That gives minority senators as individuals more influence because majority senators can't be on as many committees. That means some voters are not being represented at the same level as others. If you take a look at the bill, I'll go through and explain it to you. Section 1, this is the makeup of most interim committees. The bill will change it to 3 from the majority and 1 from the minority from each chamber. Then if you go to section 2, page 3, on lines 13 or 14 and 15, an interim committee may by vote request 4 bill drafts on a partisan basis and an unlimited number of bill drafts on a bipartisan basis. This amendment was put on in committee. Partisan basis and bipartisan basis are defined for you on lines 19 and 21 on page 3. And the intent for this amendment is that interim committees will not be a bill mill where they're just kicking out a lot of bills. They would be limited to 4. Section 3. At the end of the section, there are instructions that are given that if there is 9 or more members on a committee, they should be appointed in a matter that reflects the composition of the legislature. When there are only 4 members appointed from a chamber, the only way to reflect the majority is a 3-1 split. Section 4 states that the majority party will chair the Legislative Council. Legislative Council will stay 50-50. Section 5 line 20 on page 5, presiding officers of interim budget committees are ex officio non-voting members of the Legislative Finance Committee. This was another amendment that was put on in committee. Then you go to section 7. This section is talking about Legislative Audit Committee. That committee will stay 50-50. But the majority party would chair that committee. Section 8, this is the appointment of the Legislative Consumer Committee. And then Section 9, this is the Environmental Quality Council. The legislative portion of EQC would be an 8-4 composition, majority to minority. Members of the Senate, if committee composition during a legislative session is weighted by election results, then interim committee should as well. Democracy should not end at sine die. Madam Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Senator Mandeville.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would the sponsor yield to a question?
Does the sponsor?
I yield.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Senator. It seems like this bill only contemplates there being 2 parties represented in either chamber. What if there were a third party that was elected? How would they fit into the interim committees?
Madam Chair, Senator, I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Is further discussion, Senator Ellis?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 176 was a gut punch for me. I oppose this bill on the basis of fairness, and I wanted to explain why I think that way. I think fairness is very different than treating people by managing them by numbers, which is what Senate Bill 176 does. There are different ways to achieve fairness, and we could all think of ways to do that. Many of us are parents, and we work on that issue every day. I don't believe Senate Bill 176 is fair to the people of Montana, and that's my concern. The people of Montana expect lawmakers, no matter what party they're elected from, to solve issues they are facing. Evenly divided interim committees make that goal much more achievable. One of the reasons that Montana's Constitution is so admired is that it was built by breaking down barriers. Famously, by seating individuals alphabetically rather than by party. This arrangement made individuals talk to and work with delegates that they would not normally talk to or work with. And together, they built a stronger, better, more thoughtful constitution as a result. Interim committees are fair as they stand now because they break down barriers between legislators. They require us to talk and work together. As a result, I believe they will build stronger, better, and more thoughtful solutions for the issues our constituents are facing. Please vote no on this bill so legislators are able to build more fair solutions to the state of Montana as a whole. Thank you.
Senator Hayman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to speak to the part of the bill that refers to audit committee. Full disclosure, I have been a member of audit for 9 years, and I am currently the chair. When we make any changes in the composition and organization of the audit committee, I think we need to look at the state's constitution and our institutional history and traditions before we make these decisions. Why is the audit committee given this special constitutional status? If you look at the transcripts of the Constitutional Convention, you will find the answer. The convention delegates were acutely aware of the important and often difficult nature of the work done by legislative auditor. Consequently, they also understood the need to maintain the bipartisan and independent organization of the committee that supervises the auditor. We can keep the legislative audit function out of politics. The way to do that is not taking the first step on a slippery slope to partisan influence on the committee that oversees the legislative auditor. Assigning partisan control of the committee chair is the first step. More than half a century of institutional history and tradition tells us the current organization of legislative audit committee works well. Most importantly, it works to protect the independence of the audit division. The presiding officer of the audit committee has regularly switched between majority and minority parties since 1967. During all that time, the standards and principles that ensure the integrity and independence of the audit process have stood strong. Having the legislative minority and majority rotate the chair of audit committee says that we are institutionally committed to the principle of audit independence. It says that we stand by this principle regardless of which party is in power. And it sends a strong signal to the staff of the audit division that they can work free of any suggestion of partisan influence. But most importantly, it says that we affirm the constitutional foundation of the legislative function. And I would just like to add that when we are talking about changing the membership to a majority party, having more seats in an interim committee, we are talking about ultimately impacting interim committees that do the hard work for our sessions when we start. So we are talking about committees that come together, put their heads together, find solutions oftentimes, and present those committee bills, which we have seen fly through the floor of this Senate. And I think we are putting ourselves in harm's way and Montanans in general when we try and alter that makeup of the interim committees. So please vote no on this bill.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And Madam Chair, things have been talked about here this afternoon already in regard to fairness, fairness to the people of Montana. I think also, at the same time, fairness to the people representing the people of Montana, and that's us. Now, I'll think back to my first in the House of Representatives, and I believe we had 68 Republicans seated in the House of Representatives that year. A good number of those folks on the Republican side of the aisle received no opportunity to sit on interim committees. On the other hand, there were a number of Democrats that were able to sit on several committees. Same thing has happened along the lines, along the way, other years in the House, other years in the Senate. Now, in the House, I was one of those that was not assigned an interim committee. And my seatmate in the House, who was a very good representative and wound up chairing committees and things, I don't believe ever got a single appointment to an interim committee. Now, was that fair? At the same time, folks across the aisle, there was a 2-to-1 ratio between representatives and Republicans. But the representatives on the Republican side did not get the chance to participate in government. The 10,000 people that each of those representatives represented did not get any kind of representation on the interim committees. That was not fair. It was not fair to the representative. It was not fair to the folks across Montana that they were sent here by. So when we take in account fairness, and if we take into account that many times legislation comes forward from those committees, and the people from those areas never had a voice in what was being contemplated, planned to come before the House of the Representatives, of what was planned to come in before the House here in the Senate, or to the floor in the Senate. So simply on that basis, the people of Montana are not well served by the current practice. The members of the Senate, the member of the House of Representatives, are not well served. That alone, I think, has to be given serious consideration. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I have a question for the sponsor.
I yield.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Regeer. My question is, if the composition, let's use the Senate for example, shifted to 26-24, regardless of party, under that scenario, would the distribution on committees still be 3-to-1 under 5-5-2-11?
Madam Chair, Senator, yes, it would. Just like if it shifts to 49-1.
Madam Chair, thank you. I'll speak to the bill. About 20 years ago, I attended a conference, and one of the guys that was speaking at this conference had written a book called The Wisdom of Crowds. And this book, the fundamental premise of the book was, if you have a bunch of people in a room together asked to solve a problem and they're of average intelligence. Now, I know that's not this body. We're all above average. But if you had that case, they consistently would come to better conclusions, do a better job of problem solving than a few smart people that were in the other room. And in my mind, it's a perfect demonstration of what happens, I think, on interim committees. I served on the Forest Tax Advisory Committee that was chaired by the good senator from Elliston, and she did a wonderful job. And that was a partisan split 2-to-2. And as we worked through that issue, it was a setting where everybody's opinion was invited. It was fairly treated. It was fairly considered. And out of that kind of setting came solutions that were effective. And it was unanimous when we finished that. Likewise, in the Environmental Quality Council, chaired by the good senator from Malta, we had really one primary job this session, and that was to figure out a new funding source for conservation districts. And in the end, having studied that throughout the interim, again, a 50-50 split in there, when we got to the end, we came to a unanimous solution. And I think there's another example of a committee that's well-managed, where everybody has the opportunity to freely weigh in and is not encumbered by politics but is there to problem solve. That's where good solutions come from. And I think it will be a shame to lose that. When I campaigned, and I'm sure many of you have heard, I knocked on many thousands of doors this year, and one of the consistent themes I heard, no matter whose door I was knocking on, Republican or a Democrat, they said, wow, we are tired of the hyper-partisanship. Can't you just go to Helena and get stuff done and quit bickering? We're tired of the bickering at the national level. And I explained to them, it's a little different in Helena. We're actually more collegial. We have this process where we work with each other in the interim to solve problems. And it's a lot of give and take. And it's a strong process, and I think you're well served by that interim. And now we're going to change that. I think it's a terrible mistake, and I think what we're creating, and I don't care who, whether it's Democrats or Republicans who are in the majority, I think what you're reinforcing is an echo chamber where you just tell each other what's correct and reinforce based on often your political persuasion what you think the correct solution is. Instead, the point of our democracy is to have different opinions brought to bear on every problem and have those opinions fairly considered. I think we are really undermining the effectiveness of this body with this change, and I hope you'll resist it and vote no. Thank you.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think those of you who have served with me over the years, I was actually an opponent to bills like this in the past, but as time has gone on, I've come to the conclusion that we actually do need to rebalance our interim committees. And the reason I've come to that conclusion, and I've had a hard time having anybody disagree with this point, is that ultimately the people of Montana have sent an allocation of representatives and senators here that is not 50-50. It's an allocation that is favors the Republican Party. And by taking a legislative branch that is two-thirds Republican and changing it in the interim to 50-50 doesn't match what the people of Montana, through the democratic process, have decided to do. It's unreflective of what the people have decided. And ultimately, this body is a body that reflects the will of the voter and the will of the people. Now, I don't think that by changing the interim makeup that we're going to somehow turn these interim committees into partisan, you know, the hyper-partisan chambers that you get in places like Washington, D.C. It's not the nature of an interim committee. An interim committee, the purpose is to study issues, to have discussions, to think things in depth. Just because there's a few more Republicans as opposed to Democrats, I don't think the work of the interim committees is going to be hindered in any fashion. I think what unfortunately happens with the interim committees, the way they're structured now, is that the voice of the Republican or the majority party has been, to a certain degree, left out of the discussion. You know, the fact of the matter is there are many people on this side of the aisle. I know many of you. I think many of you are great legislators, and I don't think that changing the makeup of interim committees is going to change how they work or necessarily the effectiveness that the minority party is going to have. I think good legislators will be able to rise through the process no matter what the makeup is going to be, and they'll be able to have a voice and have it be effective here in this chamber. So And just one more comment. I think the way that the sponsor has put this bill together has been very thoughtful. He took those committees, which are functionally administrative in nature, things like legislative council, audit, and he left those at 50-50. And I think one of the reasons he did that is because those are committees that hire staff. And I think for me, I have never wanted to have partisan staff downstairs. We've always wanted to have nonpartisan staff. So that remains. But the other committees, which are fundamentally policy in nature, I think they do need to be they do need to reflect how the people have chosen to vote in members of this branch. So I think with that, I think this is a good bill. I think Senator Regeer has done a nice job of finding a balance in how he put this bill together, and I think it's worthy of support.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Regeer, would you care to close? Oh, Senator waves off. Question on the question now arises on the motion of Senator Regeer that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 176, it recommends the same do pass. As many are, As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye, those voting opposed. Same sign. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator McGilvery voting aye by proxy, we have 30 senators voting aye and 19 senators voting nay.
With 13 senators having voted aye and 19 senators having voted no, Senate Bill 176 has passed on second reading. Members of the Senate, you now have before you Senate Bill 187. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 187, introduced by Friedel, a bill for an act intended on allowing remote appearances by counsel in criminal and certain civil hearings and providing definitions.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 187. What is your pleasure, Senator Friedel?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 187, that it does recommend you stand pass.
Senator Friedel?
Madam Chair, this is a very, very simple bill. A little easier to chew than the last one. If you look at the fiscal note, I'm going to start you off with the fiscal note. I don't know how many times I've been in this chamber and I've actually seen that I'm finding revenue. This bill will save biennium over $600,000. I'm gonna start you with that one. So this is a moneymaker. What this bill does essentially is allows for attorneys to do non-substantive hearings. What is a non-substantive hearing? It is nothing like a status hearing, bail bond hearing, calendar call, things that don't have any bearing on the case other than some informational back and forth between attorneys and the court system. What this will allow to do is instead of having somebody, an attorney that we pay for, say have a case, an omnibus case or a status hearing in Savage, Montana to defend it, they can remote in. Now, this the opposition was, hey, what if they don't have that services? Well, there is a portion in here on line 16, providing the legal and factual basis for a good cause at least 5 business days before the hearing. That allows the judiciary, if they don't have the capability of doing this, they have to give good cause to either the prosecution or the defense that, hey, we just don't have that services, and that's a good cause. Otherwise, it allows us to save money, and this is where it saves money, window time. That means that attorney doesn't have to drive all the way to Savage just to have a status hearing and then turn around and come say back to Billings to have a court hearing. So that's what it does. So what this does is allows them to, instead of driving somewhere, it allows them to take that out, those hours, and put it into actual work that they can do for their defendants. Oh, by the way, this also helps the people that are that have a case in front of this court. So a defendant doesn't have to drive, say they move to Kalispell and then they have a case in Savage. A lot of these hearings have them required to go there, regardless if they do anything but just stand there. So this is a good bill for both the person that has to show up and attorneys. This will save money with OPD. any other civil cases. So this is a good bill. If you have any questions, I'll stand, but I appreciate it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none. I'm sorry. Senator Olson. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you all know, I typically and consistently vote against any bill that mandates Montanans participate online via the internet when everybody does not have access to safe, reliable, accessible, and affordable internet. This bill does require that, and we know that there's at least 15 counties that do not have, at this time, consistent, predictable internet to have this process we're mandating by this bill. I think that, and it's interesting that the fiscal note only addresses OPD that will save money, but doesn't indicate how much it will cost to upgrade all of our court system. I thought I was going to be assured today that the court systems would, in appropriations, get enough money to do these upgrades to their court systems. I believe this is a good move. I would like to vote yes, and I may still vote yes, based upon the idea that we've heard from the sponsor of the bill that the lack of predictable, reliable internet access is itself good cause for the court to order in-person hearings. I think that is a safety net, that is a protection for the courts to not have to do something that they physically cannot do. For those reasons, I'd like to just encourage us all to remember that justice is so very important that we need to spend the money to make sure that it happens. And I think that means better funding the OPD as well as making sure that these upgrades are funded. Thank you.
The Senate will stand at ease.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you were there. Yep. just like maybe more people emailing you guys? Yeah.
Okay. Did he misquote? Shouldn't have used the name and it had been okay.
No, I'm not. I just presented this to him. Yeah.
Okay. So what am I doing wrong?
You're not doing anything wrong.
Okay, cool.
People didn't have their proxies in like they were supposed to.
Oh, okay.
So.
Oh, man, let's try to talk to you.
Okay, that's all you have to say.
Okay.
Yeah,
just
a few. Okay.
We'll be back in order.
Okay.
It will take us a few extra moments to
okay.
do voting.
So when I'm doing this, I just need to wait for
my email.
Brent to tell me
yes.
to slow down or something.
Yeah, he'll give you
okay.
a thumbs up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it because we have...
Right,
I'm just wondering if it's... What if we call it over?
It's supposed to be with Greg. It's supposed to be filled with Greg's.
But you can send them.
Okay.
Without having.
Members will be back in order. Is there further discussion on Senate Bill 187? Seeing none, Senator Friedel, would you care to close?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, good Senator, for having some conversations. Just to let you know two things. One, here's $600,000 to put toward OPD if you want to, taxation and appropriations. I also believe that House Bill 5 has a couple appropriations to help in regards to upgrading and enhancing judicial appearances through video. So take it as it is. Hearing of it, it sounds like it's a good idea. It sounds like it's going to have some legs to move forward with it. So I'd appreciate a due pass. Thank you, Madam Chair.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Friedel that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration Senate Bill 187, it recommends the same due pass. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, Senator McGilvery and Senator Gross vote by proxy. We have 46 senators voting aye and 4 senators voting nay. 46 senators voting aye and 4 senators voting nay.
Thank you. With 46 senators having voted aye and 4 having voted no, Senate Bill 187 has passed. Second reading. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 206. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
Senate Bill 206, introduced by Trebus and others, a bill for an act entitled preempting a local ordinance, rule, or regulation exempting certain uses of mobile electronic communications devices while operating a motor vehicle, defining mobile electronic communications device, and amending sections.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 206. What is your pleasure, Senator Trebus?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 206, that it recommend the same due pass.
Senator Trebus.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. So I ran a similar bill in 2017 in the House. It was a bit different. This bans local bans on driving while holding or touching a cell phone to make a call. Bans on texting while driving would still be allowed. In 2017, someone online called it the Trebus frat bro bill, meaning I'm doing this for buddies that irresponsibly don't think about the safety of others and their decision making. I was homeschooled. I went to college for accounting. The frat life wasn't something for me. So, all that to say, my aim is to be analytical, objective, and fair to citizens we represent. When I say analytical, I mean I've searched out the conclusions and study models on this topic for over a decade, since my city first considered and passed one of those ordinances. When I say objective, I mean trying to look at the data and conclusions without bias as much as I'm able. When I say fair, I intend to balance governmental police power to stop and fine with penalties that are justified in invoking that power or revoking policies that do not justify that power. In evaluating the multitude of studies out there on this topic, there is a large variance in conclusions. First studied in or about 2001 in New York, with more recent studies into the 2020s, this has been analyzed for 20 plus years. Most conclude that distracted driving is dangerous, but few strongly conclude that bans do much to change behavior, wrecks, or fatalities. My goal in this and other bills is to question laws and ordinances with stated objectives that do not ultimately achieve their outcomes. My view is that we should use a light touch when invoking police power with policies that have failed to protect public safety in a noticeable way, especially. So some resources, agencies that have studied and weighed in on the subject. Insurance Institute of Highway Safety, the Highway Loss Data Institute, the Governor's Highway Safety Administration, it's a national organization, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA, University of Colorado and RAND Corporation, University of Utah, AAA Foundation, Texas A&M. They've all had a say in studies that have observed or tried to kind of get at the root of what's going on here, where distracted driving is dangerous, it's causing an issue, but do the bans really work? So the question is, do the bans really work? That's the question. A 2010 study by IIHS, that's the first one, Insurance Institute of Highway Safety, their Highway Loss Data Institute arm, concluded from insurance claims for crash damage in four jurisdictions before and after cell phone bans that there was no reduction in crashes. So that's one study. The study was called Irresponsible by the federal DOT at the time, but it was based off of objective evidence. It reached a conclusion that went against what was supposed to be the drumbeat narrative, but facts are facts and feelings are not. So I'm arguing for objective, fact-based policymaking here. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there a discussion on the bill? Senator Pope.
Madam Chair, thank you, Madam Chair and members. I want to explain why I'm going to be a strong no on this bill. I sit on local government and heard this bill in full. Madam Chair and committee, obviously distracted driving creates hazards on our roads. And cell phones are a significant and troubling cause of that distracted driving. During committee, we heard that 13 towns and cities in Montana currently have ordinances on their books by their decisions locally to ban cell phone use while driving, and that cell phone bans in those towns were being rigorously and successfully enforced. We heard from multiple municipalities during our committee hearing opposing the bill that their local ordinance allows for hands-free driving, one city saying they're not completely strapping drivers from being able to communicate while they're driving. Hands-free is okay, but that over 400 drivers are annually in this town are cited for using their cell phones in their hands while driving. The mayor of Great Falls testified that parents in their community were entirely grateful for the city protecting distracted drivers from hurting others. This is not about science, with all due respect to the sponsor. This is not about, you know, wonky, let's read between the lines. This is about basics, public safety, especially as it relates to the many rear-end crashes that one police chief was quoted as saying is experienced in their municipality, people texting or otherwise not paying attention. I think it's one thing for local governments to decide in a thoughtful public meetings with residents, parents, and taxpayers what the appropriate approach might be in those locales to keeping their folks safe on the road. That's pretty basic. And as importantly, it's not for us here in Helena to be telling local governments and their police powers across the Treasure State what is and what is not appropriate for how to keep their citizens safe.
Proxy and on third.
This bill is a road that we should not go down, Madam Chair. Please vote red. Thank you.
Senator Molnar.
Thank you. Does the sponsor yield, please?
Does the sponsor yield?
There we go. I do. Thank you.
You started by saying that you studied this for quite a few years. Have there been any, and I don't have the answer, that's why I'm asking, I'm not doing one of those. Have there been any studies that would say this, there was a repeal on a law banning cell phone use in a car? Has there been any finding that, say, rear-end collisions went up or stayed the same, because you mentioned do they work or not, or did they go down? Has there been any verification that this will not increase accidents due to distracted driving?
Madam Chair and Senator, the only way I can answer that is to say that most places have become stricter over time to a point. And so what they have studied that kind of gets at your question is that some studies have shown that rear-end crashes have gone down after a ban's been affected or in place. And so I guess that's the best way I can answer that, is some studies say that some rear-end crashes decrease after a ban.
Further question?
I yield.
Yep.
Are there any studies that say rear-end crashes went up after this was repealed?
Madam Chair, Senator, one of the closest studies to answer that question was one I referenced from the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety. And they, like I said, studied four larger jurisdictions, larger cities, and they didn't notice a reduction in crashes pre and post ban. But there's other studies that had other models of studying this issue, and they would have different statistics as a result.
For clarification, Madam Chair, my question was about increases, not about decreases. Are there an equal number of studies that show increases, or do all studies show neutrality or decreases?
Madam Chair, Senator, it's a mixed bag. I couldn't say that I don't think it's been concluded significantly or strongly that, I guess my point is, there's not a strong conclusion that the policy behavior, the ordinance, has changed much in that realm.
Thank you very much.
Seeing no further questions, would the sponsor care to close?
Thank you, Madam Chair and body. Really, this, I think, putting it down to a fine point, this is objectivity in policy making. I think I probably studied this, and I put money on it, more than any of your city council folks have. I think at the time that these were passed, it was largely a knee-jerk reaction. The logic goes, if we ban something, it'll stop or behavior will change. That didn't work. So in 2015 in Great Falls, for example, they doubled the minimum fine, and because obviously it wasn't working, so they made it harsher as much as they could under law, and still didn't really change much. So I've studied this. It's not to decrease safety. Again, objectivity in policymaking. Current bans are unscientific, by the way, throughout Montana, because there's been studies also that say that hands-free texting and talking are just as unsafe cognitively, meaning your brain is somewhere else, even if you're not touching your phone. So that's legal under these current ordinances, but it's unscientific in the way that those ordinances are structured, because it produces the same results in the end. So I guess I'm looking for good policy, objective policy making, and a green light. Thank you.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Treibus that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 206, it recommends the same do pass. All those in favor signify by voting aye, opposed, voting no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator McGilvery and Senator Gross voting by proxy, we have 28 senators voting aye and 22 senators voting nay.
With 28 senators having voted aye and 22 voting nay, the Senate Bill 206 has passed second reading. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 221. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill. Nope. Mm-hmm. We're going to stand at ease for a minute. What?
What was the vote on law?
What? What about it? Yeah. What about it?
What bill was it? On SB 206, Senator Gross was a no. Not a yes, it will be fixed.
Okay. The clerk will record the vote.
This is one of my favorite bills.
It's 2723. 27 senators vote aye and 23 senators vote nay.
I remember it. We can get this down to zero, though, because this is only assuming that not sailors are going to buy it, but the committee is committed to selling it.
Okay, so, members, okay. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 221. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
Senate Bill 221, introduced by Usher A. Bill for an act entitled Act Revising License Plate Laws allowing a person serving abroad the USS Montana to receive USS Montana license plates, requiring vehicles with USS Montana license plates driven in the U.S. Montana's home port state to follow that state's laws regarding safety inspections and emissions testing and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 221. What is your pleasure, Senator Usher?
Madam Chair, I move when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 221 that I recommend the same do pass.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there just, I'm sorry, Senator Usher, I apologize.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure why you're apologizing, because this is a great bill. So just vote yes. But anyway, I don't remember how many veterans we have in here, but I see quite a few that I can think of. When you were stationed somewhere else in the country, you were still allowed to leave your home state license plates on your car. And you also probably still paid taxes back at your home state. So you kept your home base as your residency, even though you may have been stationed in Puerto Rico or Florida or Alabama or California or wherever. So what this does, so that's reciprocity in all 50 states. that you can run around and not change your license plates. Well, what this does is we've got, I think it's 140-some sailors on the USS Montana that are proud to be serving on the USS Montana. That boat, submarine's called a boat instead of a ship, is a well-designed interior in the interior with Montana rivers and towns, names, stuff's on the walls. I mean, they just are very proud to represent the state of Montana. Most of them are not from Montana, but they would like to be able to put the USS Montana license plates on their cars. It's in Virginia, and this bill basically changes the law to just allow them to be residents of Montana only for that license plate purpose. They'll have reciprocity in 50 states. Virginia, do we want our proud sailors that are on our boat to go around Virginia driving around with USS Montana plates? I say absolutely. I think you do too. And I think we need to support them and go green.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the senator like to close? Senator waves off. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Usher that when the committee does write and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 221, it recommends the same do pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those voting no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will read the vote.
Madam Chair, with Senator McGilvery voting aye by proxy and Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye.
With 50 senators having voted aye, Senate Bill 221 has passed second reading. Members, you have before you, for your consideration, Senate Bill 234. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
Senate Bill 234, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising Laws Related to the Installation of Vending Machines on State Highway Rights of Way, authorizing the Department to issue an invitation for bid and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 234. What is your pleasure, Senator Usher?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 234, that I recommend the same do pass.
Senator Usher.
Madam Chair, members of the Senate, this is almost as easy. I found out a couple sessions ago that I realized that we didn't have vending machines in our rest areas on the highways. And I kind of scratched my head because I do a lot of traveling around other states, and I didn't know why. So I tried to run a bill a couple sessions ago. At the time, the DOT director and the governor were adamantly against it. They were in the middle of remodeling new rest areas and didn't want to put it in the plan. The current administration seems much more amenable to that. We had the Trucking Association came in and said it would be great when their people have to stop and spend the night in their truck to be able to get a soda or maybe a bag of chips just to make it to morning or whenever. Talked to the convenience stores, who I thought would be against it, and they were all for it. And so I asked you to go green if you want soda or chips.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the senator like to close? Senator waves off. Question now arises on the... Whoops, I'm sorry. Senator Friedel.
I, Madam Chair, I will take the hit. We got this as a great bill. I think it's awesome. But there's the most oddest bill that we have on the books. I would encourage everybody to read 18-5-502. If you haven't read the amendment on this, the bill that's been, the switch, it says, blind person set forth by 18502. There's actually a bill on the books that says that you have to give preference if two bids were alike. You have to give preference and the bid to a blind person. I had to look this up going, this is the weirdest, because I'm like, how does this have anything to do with putting vending machines in there? But it's from the 1980s, federally, that they had this where you put it in there, where if a blind person was in there, you gave them preference. So just so people don't get weirded out by it, but it does what it does. Thank you.
Seeing no further... Okay. Seeing no further questions, no discussion. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Usher. I'm sorry, Senator Usher, would you wish to close on your bill now?
Well, the first time you asked me, I waved off. But since the good senator had to make that comment, yeah, I don't agree with that law either, but it's a federal law, so it's just goofy. There are ways that when we put out an RFP that we can make it so, and I think they already do, that the blind company has to own the equipment. They can't just take a cut and sub it out. That's probably the only concern with that issue. So go green. Chips.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Usher that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 234, it recommends the same do pass. All those in favor, vote. Motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, voting no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will report the vote. Record the vote.
Madam Chair, with Senator Gross and Senator McGilvery both voting aye by proxy, we have 45 senators voting aye and 5 senators voting nay.
With 45 senators having voted aye and 5 having voted no, Senate Bill 234 has passed second reading. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 50. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 50, introduced by Brockman by request of the Department of Revenue, a bill for an act intended revising alcohol laws to remove an exception that no longer applies to restaurant beer and wine licensees, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 50. What is your pleasure, Senator Vermeer?
My pleasure is you really caught me by surprise on this one. Madam Chair, I move that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill number 50, that it recommends the same be concurred in.
Senator Vermeer.
Madam Chair and members of the committee. I really didn't realize I had this one to present, so. Yeah, could Madam Chair, could you move this to the bottom of the list? Can we do that?
Yep, we sure can. We'll move House Bill 50 to the bottom of the list.
And I apologize, Madam Chair.
That's just fine, Senator Vermeer. Okay, members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 68. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 68, introduced by Nicola Kakos, by request of the Department of Revenue, a bill for an act entitled Act Generally Revising Laws Relating to the Sale of Beer and Wine Licenses, creating retail beer and wine licenses by combining retail beer licenses with wine amendments, eliminating wine amendments, revising annual fees, revising golf courses, beer and wine licenses, amending sections, and providing a delayed effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 10.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 68. What is your pleasure, Senator Small?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 68, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Small?
Madam Chair, House Bill 68 is one of the Department of Revenue bills. It changes a couple small things and does some cleanup. Right now, if you were to purchase a beer license, you would have to put in for an amendment to attach a wine license to that. This bill essentially, it combines the two and stacks the cost of them together to make them one singular actual beer and wine license. One thing it does do, other than that, is it removes the need to have a restaurant to have the wine amendment, so it creates an actual beer and wine license and you don't have the other restrictions with it. If you look through the bill, page 5, there's quite a bit of activity on that, but it doesn't do anything on page 5. It's just cleaning up language for golf courses and trying to get rid of the confusion there. The bill's basically just set forth to clean up and make it easier for the department to track everything and easier for the distributors and suppliers. It's a good bill.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Regeer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A sponsor yield to question?
Yes, I do.
Madam Chair, Senator, is this optional? They don't have to upgrade or get both wine if they don't have it?
No, sir. It's now it's just going to become just one actual license without a different distinguisher.
Madam Chair, follow up?
Yes.
Madam Chair, Senator, but if somebody doesn't want to go to the $400 level, can they stay at the $200?
You know, we didn't ask that, but I don't believe so, because if you look at the fiscal note, it does cause a $9,000 difference, so okay. I think they're just going to pile them up and make you get both.
Okay, thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, would the Senator like to close? Senator waves off. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Small that when this committee does rise and report ever after having had under consideration House Bill 68, it recommends the same be concurred in. Many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator McGilvery voting nay by proxy and Senator Gross voting aye by proxy, we have 38 senators voting aye and 12 senators voting nay.
With 38 senators having voting aye and 12 having voted no, House Bill 68 has been concurred in. Okay, members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 69. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 69, introduced by Falk by request of the Department of Revenue, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising Alcoholic Beverage Laws Relating to Agency Stores, Revising Laws Related to Table Wine, Eliminating the Phasing Out of Commission Rates, Clarifying Hours of Operation, Revising Laws Related to Payment for Sales, Amending Sections, and Providing an Immediate Effective Date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The Chair will read the sections.
1 through 6.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 69. What is your pleasure, Senator Vermeer?
Madam Chair, another one? No. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill number 39, that it recommend the same be concurred in, Madam Chair.
Senator Regeer, I believe House Bill 69?
69.
Thank you. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, you have before you House Bill number 69, a request from the Department of Revenue, Alcoholic Beverage Division. This is basically a cleanup bill. There was some language put in there in 2015 with Senate Bill 193 that was meant to get the agency liquor stores up to the designated commission rates. It was done by a three-year phased-in approach. That finished several years ago, so with the mission complete and 3 years have passed, this language is obsolete. You can find it on page 6, lines 15 through 22, and on page 9, lines 22 through 24. There are other strikes in this bill that take out table wine, which you'll all remember that Monday or Tuesday this week we had another bill that struck table wine because the department does not do the table wine anymore. The only other change is on page 11 on line 1. The department wanted it struck that paid for by a cash basis. So it allows the licensees to pay by credit card, debit, or with check. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the Senator care to close?
Madam Chair, I'd just like to point out the Department of Revenue, Alcoholic Beverage Division has been doing a great job under the inspiration of the Governor's Red Tape Initiative in finding a lot of these statutes and getting them cleaned up. I urge the committee to vote do concur in on House Bill 69. And I'll close with that. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Vermeer that when this committee does write a report after having had under consideration House Bill 69, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye, those opposed voting no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, with Senator Gross and Senator McGilvery voting aye by proxy, we have 49 senators voting aye and one senator voting nay.
With 49 senators having voted aye and one voting no, House Bill 69 has been concurred in. Peace. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 92. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 92, introduced by P. Green, by request of the Department of Justice, a bill for an act entitled Act allowing the Department of Justice to accept a licensed addiction counselor's assessment and determining whether to restore driver privileges for individuals convicted of an offense involving driving under the influence, amending section, and providing an immediate effective date and a retroactive applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 92. What is your pleasure, Senator Usher?
Madam Chair, I move when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 92 that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Usher?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we've already read the title, and pretty much the title says everything. Basically, it allows that Motor Vehicle Division can use the licensed addiction counselor assessment in determining when to restore that license. It just changed that, and that's it. So go green. It'll just make it more efficient.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator, would you care to close? Senator waves off. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Usher that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 92, it recommends the same be concurred in. All those in favor, vote, signify by voting aye. Opposed, voting no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross, Senator McGilvery, and Senator Cuff voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
With 50 senators having voted aye, House Bill 92 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 142. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 142, introduced by Jay Lynch, by request of the Department of Labor and Industry, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising Laws Related to Unemployment Insurance and False Claims, ensuring appropriate restitution for false claims, clarifying that theft from unemployment insurance is theft from a public agency, and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 142. What is your pleasure, Senator Curdy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee does rise support after having under consideration House Bill 142, that I recommend the same be concurred in. Madam Chair.
Senator Curdy.
So under current law, the statute defining theft only includes worker comp theft. Under this bill, it adds theft to include fraudulent unemployment insurance claims. Under 45-7-210, the false claim to public agency clause. Madam Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Curdy, would you care to close? Senator Curdy waves off. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Curdy that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 142, it recommends the same do be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross, Senator McGilvery, and Senator Cuff voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
50 senators having voted aye, House Bill 142 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 169. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 169, introduced by Brockman, a bill for an act entitled Act Clarifying Confirmation Requirements for Interim Judicial Appointees, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 169. What is your pleasure, Senator Brown?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill number 169, that recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Brown?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This basically says it all. In the title, that we don't have to do our judicial appointee confirmations during a special session. Now, you can all imagine perhaps reasons we would want to call a special session. Maybe we've had a budget surplus that we would like to return to the people, or perhaps we would like to put that into the coal trust to protect it for future generations. But I know you can all imagine reasons that we would not want to have a longer special session. And because as the session gets longer, we spend more of that surplus money that we have. So with that, I will just sit and we'll see what everybody has to say. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Brown, would you care to close? Senator Brown waves off. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Brown that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 169, it recommends the same do pass, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many of those are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, voting no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator McGilvery and Senator Cuff voting aye by proxy and Senator Gross voting nay by proxy, we have 34 senators voting aye and 16 senators voting nay.
With 34 senators having voted aye and 16 having voted no, House Bill 169 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 175. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 175, introduced by Buttrey and Ellsworth, a bill for an act entitled an act expanding definition of line item transfer in Chapter 401 laws of 2021, providing for expanded transfer of appropriation authority in Chapter 401 laws of 2021, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 175. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 175, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Solomon?
Madam Chairman, this bill is requested by the Office of Budget and Program Planning and amends House Bill 632, which we passed in the 2021 session. House Bill 632, Section 7, contains funding for capital project funding. The executive submitted five projects for federal approval utilizing these funds, and unfortunately, the state was later notified by the federal government that due to some rule changes, these projects were not eligible uses. Due to this, the executive proposed to the Legislative Finance Committee to fund switch the capital project funds from House Bill 632 with state fiscal recovery funds in House Bill 632. This fund switch was about $120 million. The executive obligated approximately $63 million for the five capital projects. That leaves about $57 million left over. So this is where House Bill 175 comes into play. The ARPA Communication Advisory Commission and the ARPA Economic Transformation, Stabilization, and Workforce Development Commission each have voted contingent on passage and approval of House Bill 175 to allocate $13.1 million to the Department of Labor and Industry to replace the obsolete unemployment insurance information system and use the remaining, which is approximately $44 million, to fund additional broadband projects in the state. The governor received these recommendations from both the ARPA commissions and has approved the funding also contingent on the passage and approval of this bill. The net fiscal impact of this bill is zero. Passage and approval of House Bill 175 will simply allow the departments of administration and labor and industry to be allocated the appropriations and move forward with the commission's recommendations and governor-approved projects. Madam Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Okay. I still hear microphones going on out there. Senator, would you care to close? Senator waves off. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 175, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many vote in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross, Senator McGilvery, and Senator Cuff voting aye by proxy, we have 47 senators voting aye and 3 senators voting nay.
with 47 senators having voted aye and 3 having voted no, House Bill 175 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you, for your consideration, House Bill 178. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 178, introduced by Walsh and Fitzpatrick. A bill for an act entitled Act Revising Workers' Compensation Laws relating to when the employee is engaged in social or recreational activity, revising laws relating to employee injuries during social or recreational activities at the work site of the employer, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history of the title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate House Bill 178. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 178, it recommends the same be concurred.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a bill which makes some revisions to the workers' compensation laws, and what it does is it clarifies that if you are engaged in an unpaid social or recreational activity, that you are not going to be entitled to workers' compensation benefits, even if that activity occurs on the job site. And the example on where the desire for this bill is coming from is that we have people who work at ski areas, they are working some hours on the job, then they are going off the clock, and as part of their day, they go skiing, engage in some other type of recreational activity. You know, although they're on the job site, they're not working, and what this bill would simply do is clarify that in this circumstance, workers' compensation benefits are not to be provided. Now, I just gave the example of a ski area. There are plenty other examples. You know, for example, if you were at work and after work there was a picnic or something on the job site and it was an unpaid activity, you were not required to go to it, you would not be entitled to workers' compensation benefits in those circumstances. I just want to emphasize the key fact here. This is unpaid social or recreational activity. Obviously, if you were being paid to be at one of these, you would be able to obtain workers' compensation benefits if you were hurt in those circumstances. So with that, I'd ask for your support.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Senator Olson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, I'd like you to look on page 5. The description that was given by the carrier of this bill is the way the law already exists. It already protects the kind of conduct that he mentioned. I'd like to draw your attention to line 16, let's start with line 24, where it redefines what a social or recreational activity means. It means, and I'm going to the end, optional preparation related to the employment. Optional preparation related to the employment. So that means unpaid work. So let's think of us as us here at the legislature. We know we get paid for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for 90 days. Well, guess what? All that other time you spend in this building is actually unpaid, optional preparation related to that employment. And so if you fall down the stairs outside of those 8 hours, you would have a claim against the state. And that's actually really great for you because the state is a deep pocket. But guess what? What if you're working in a place and you're optionally preparing for tomorrow? You're not getting paid for it. It's a voluntary preparation you're doing. And the building catches fire and you're injured on the way out. Now you can sue that employer. And depending on what the employer's pockets are, because you wouldn't be covered under work comp anymore. Because remember, work comp is a system in which the employer is prevented from being sued when you're injured on their premises and doing work for them. Instead of you having to sue them to get compensation, it's an agreement between workers and employers that protects employers, and actually given the decrease in benefits, more than it protects, as well as protecting employees. And if you go to the other change where it says unpaid work, and you put it with optional preparation, we know a lot of people work overtime voluntarily without getting paid to prepare and to do more of the work for their employer. So for those reasons, This is a real problematic bill, not just for employees, but for employers, and I would encourage you to vote no.
Senator Brown?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this is a good bill. I'm going to be a yes. I may be one of the only people in the state of Montana who has had their knee replaced because they were asked to play volleyball at work. That's why my knee is as screwed up as it is. And, you know, had I not been getting paid, and many other reasons, but you know, I wouldn't have been covered because it doesn't seem like that. You know, and I hear a lot of stories about employers not paying their employees but requiring them to be at places. And the requirement, I think, is a good part of this bill. If your employee is requiring you to be somewhere and perform some kind of an activity or do something, then you are, I believe, you're covered under that. But if you're just doing it in your own free will, spare time, then it's on your dime. So I just believe it's a good bill. Go green.
Thank you. Senator Small?
Yeah, I want to back up the person that basically spoke right before me. This bill here, I mean, if you're working at a ski area and you get off work and they let you run up the slope and ski after that, they're not responsible if you hurt yourself playing around after work. If you got a ranch and one of your hired hands gets done stacking hay and he wants to, you know, and he's off work for the day, everything's clear to go, and he wants to run down to the river on a four-wheeler and go for a swim and rolls the thing 15 times over himself and breaks all his ribs or something. I mean, this is so the rancher's not liable. It's a good bill.
Senator Wilborn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just share a quick personal story with you. A number of years ago, I was working in a family business, and we had a company party, summer barbecue, at the lake, where everybody was invited, not required to attend, but they were sent invitations. And there was a gentleman that had a wreck on a jet ski and hurt himself, and it cost Montana State Fund a lot of money. And I don't think I need to go any deeper into that, but this is a good bill. It's a step in the right direction, and it's past time that we do something for the people of Montana in this realm.
See no further discussion. Senator Fitzpatrick, would you care to close? Senator waves off. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 178, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, voting no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross, Senator McGilvery, and Senator Cuff voting aye by proxy, we have 41 senators voting aye and 9 senators voting nay.
With 41 senators having voted aye and 9 having voted nay, no, House Bill 178 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 183. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 183, introduced by Nicole and others, a bill for an act entitled an act revising the Crime Victims Compensation Act to increase reasonable funeral expenses for the victim, increasing the funeral expenses from $3,500 to $10,000, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 183. What is your pleasure, Senator Friedel?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having it under consideration, House Bill 183, that same be concurred in.
Senator Friedel?
Madam Chair, this is a pretty simple bill. What it does is, in the event that there is a death and we need to pay out, where's that here? If you look at line 9, all they're doing is changing it from $3,500 to $10,000. Essentially, if you haven't noticed over the last couple of years, that we've had things called inflation. And unfortunately, and this, it also has occurred when it comes to burials. So what the department is asking for is an excuse me, not an apartment, I apologize. what the group's asking for is to bump it to 10,000. So in the event someone does have an accident and does die, it does allow for victims of crimes to be compensated for burial. And all they're asking for, this is strictly for the burial of the first person. So it's 10,000, max 25 for the overall. So all I ask for is, this is a good bill, go green.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Molnar?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Does the sponsor yield?
Do you yield?
Sure.
Where's the fiscal note?
Where's the fiscal note? The fiscal note only happened. It's actually appropriating up to 10,000. There's actually a fund for this already in place. And there is no fiscal note until someone dies.
You're my...
Through the chair, please.
I would like to ask my office mate a follow-up question.
I continue to yield.
Thank you. Senator Molnar.
Thank you. I'm not a, you know, it's my understanding, and I don't have a big problem with the bill, but it's my understanding we don't take action unless we have a fiscal note. I'm not aware of any fiscal notes that are generated after somebody dies.
I thought we did this last year.
Is that a question?
Yeah, where's the fiscal note?
Fiscal note is right here. It's $0. It's online.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I'm receiving the high sign from the good senator from the Flathead Country.
I yield to a question. Senator, the department has $25,000 they can spend for a victim. Okay, out of that $25,000, by law, they can only spend $3,500 for the funeral. This will allow them to go up to $10,000. So that $25,000 per victim is there. That's why there's no fiscal note on it. They just need the authority to pay more for the funeral.
Madam Chair, I'd like to thank the good senator for the elucidation. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I may be wrong on this, but my recollection is this is funded by restitution funds by criminals, so there would be no general fund expense on this.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, Senator Friedel, would you wish to close? Senator has waved off. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Friedel that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 183, it recommends the same be concurred in. In favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those vote opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote. Senator Molnar.
He's put no.
Do you vote up or down, Senator Molnar? Up. Okay, thank you so much.
With Senator Gross, Senator McGilvery, and Senator Cuff voting aye by proxy, and Senator Molnar voting yes with his thumb, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
There you go. With 50 senators having voted aye, House Bill 183 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 50. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 50, introduced by Brockman, by request of the Department of Revenue, a bill for an act intended on revising alcohol laws to remove an exception that no longer applies to restaurant beer and wine licenses, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections or history and title of the bill?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 50. What is your pleasure, Senator Vermeer?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill number 50, That it recommend the same be concurred in, Madam Chair.
Senator Vermeer?
Now I remember. This is a cleanup bill from some language that was put in there in the 2021 session with House Bill 226, which allowed for off-premise sales. It's on page 4, lines 13 through 14, and all it does is remove this language. And that's it.
Thank you, sir. Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator, would you wish to close? Senator waves off. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Vermeer that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 50, it recommends the same be concurred in. Many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Gross, Senator McGilvery, and Senator Cuff voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
50 senators having voted aye, House Bill 50 has been concurred in. Mr. Senator Fitzpatrick.
Madam Chair, I move the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Ayes have it.
Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, we are committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate bills passed, Senate bills 176, 187, 206, 221, 234. House bills concurred in, House bills 50, 68, 69, 92, 142, 169, 175, 178, 183.
Senator Vance.
Mr. President, I move that the committee of the whole report be adopted.
You've heard the motion of Senator Vance that the committee of the whole report be adopted. As many of those are in favor, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Vance? Clerk will record, or Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 41 have voted yes, 6 have voted no.
Thank you, Senator Vance. Without objection, we'll go on to order of business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 60, introduced by Temple, a bill for an act entitled Establish Enterprise Fund for Montana's Spatial Real-Time Network.
Senate Bill 60, having been read through three several times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes, 1 has voted no.
46 senators have voted aye, 1 having voted no. Senate Bill 60 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 190, introduced by Mandeville, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Election Laws Related to Recounts.
Senate Bill 190, having been read through three several times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? As many of those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes, 1 has voted no.
46 senators haven't voted aye, 1 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 190 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 201, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled Revised Judicial Recusal Laws When Parties Made Campaign Contributions.
Senate Bill 201 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes, those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 33 have voted yes, 14 have voted no.
33 senators having voted aye, 14 having voted no. Senate Bill 201 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 215, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for non-contiguous revised DEQ rule to require connection from proposed subdivision.
Senate Bill 215 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? As many of those are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye or no. Any member wish to change his or her vote, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 32 have voted yes, 15 have voted no.
32 senators haven't voted aye, 15 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 215 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 219, introduced by Curdy, a bill for enacting to revise wildfire suppression laws.
Senate Bill 219 hadn't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 37 have voted yes, 10 have voted no.
37 senators haven't voted aye, 10 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 219 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 220, introduced by Glim, a bill for enacting to include public infrastructure and county-owned parks and municipal annexation.
Senate Bill 220 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Senator Emmerich? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the votes.
Mr. President, 47 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
47 senators haven't voted aye. Senate Bill 220 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 133, introduced by Minor, a bill for enacting a title allow non-resident college students to purchase Fish, Wildlife, and Parks licenses online.
House Bill 133 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the votes.
Mr. President, 41 have voted yes, 6 have voted no.
41 senators haven't voted aye, 6 haven't voted no. House Bill 133 has passed the Senate. That objection will be on order of business number 9. Motions. Senator Regeer.
Mr. President, may I be off the record, out of the journal, for a motion?
You may.
Mr. President, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration the Super Bowl, that it recommend the Eagles Super Bowl champions. Mr. President.
Go ahead, Senator.
Members of the Senate, this Sunday, Super Bowl, one of the greatest sporting events ever. It's right there with the World Series, Final Four. Kind of sad to think some are going to watch it just to watch the commercials or to eat, but it's a great event. The Eagles have two members from my alma mater. They've dominated all season, so I want you to go with a winner. Vote green, Mr. President.
And Senator, if you're voting red, you're voting for the Chiefs?
If you're voting green, you're voting for the Eagles.
And if you're voting red, you're voting for the Chiefs.
Well, yeah.
Thank you, Senator.
It just, okay.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President, right.
Thank you, Senator. You've heard the motion of the Senator. All those in favor, vote red. Red.
Discussion.
No green. Red, red.
He didn't do any discussion.
Yeah, I wanted to.
Senator Lynch. Senator Olson. Okay. The clerk will record the votes.
Mr. President, Eagles 21, Washington 28.
Washington.
I'm sorry.
It'd be a correction there. I think that's the Chiefs. And they'd be from Kansas City. Without objection, we'll be on order business number 12 of announcements of committee meetings.
Committee meetings.
Senator Small.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Business and Labor, Tuesday morning, 8:30 a.m., several bills. And if I may, real quick, for the purpose of an introduction.
You may.
I would the pages please stand up? So I said introduction, but I'm sorry I was a little off. It's more of a farewell type deal. I would like everybody to give them a round of applause and thank you guys for helping us for the week.
Thank you all. Senator Cuff. As he's trying to take it.
Thank you, Mr. President. State administration will meet at 3 o'clock today. Yes. And we will be doing confirmation vote on the Commissioner for Political Practices selection by the governor. We'll also be doing some executive action. And I would also point out to you that anyone who may want to listen to or participate in the Redistricting Commission hearing, the room is 172. I went as chairman of the Select Committee on Legislative Redistricting. I had a chance to talk about our work. But first, I had to run up and down and around to find where the meeting room was. It's room 172 on the first floor. And with that, long-range planning Monday morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. Or excuse me, Mr. President.
Senator Nolan.
I was just speaking to Madam Chair.
Senator Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to be off and out for the purpose of an announcement.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On April 4th, 2021, the President of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Russell M. Nelson, announced the construction of a new temple here in Helena. This is the second completed temple in Montana, along with a Billings, Montana temple. A third temple was announced to be built in the future date in Missoula. During the last interim, workers from around the country have come to help in its construction. Now, as you drive around the valley, especially at night, I am sure you have had at least a glimpse of this magnificent symbol of faith and beautiful addition to the Helena cityscape. In addition to serving the spiritual needs of the church members, this temple will bring visitors and tourists to Helena from countries and cultures around the world. With the exception of Sundays, the general public is welcome to tour the temple from Thursday, May 18th, through Saturday, June 3rd. Again, there's a tour you can come on Thursday, May 18th, through Saturday, June 3rd, 2023. It is my hope that you will take advantage of this historic opportunity. The temple is located at 1260 Otter Road here in Helena. You can follow the temple's Facebook page for future information on tours by searching for Helena, Montana Temple, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Lenz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Public Health will be meeting as soon as we have a quorum.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Natural Resources won't be meeting today, and I think it is going to be the Chiefs because they're going to cover the spread. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. President. No Senate education this afternoon and no joint appropriations Section E on Monday morning.
Senator Mandeville.
Thank you, Mr. President. Section A will meet at 10 o'clock on Monday, executive action.
Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate local government will not be meeting today. We will start work on Monday. Go Chiefs.
Majority Leader Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate stand adjourned until the hour of 1 o'clock on February 13th, 2023, the 31st legislative day.
You've heard the motion of the Majority Leader. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We will see you Monday at 1 o'clock.